I enjoyed seeing all of these folks come to the up in the altar area and stand where they were saved. There may have been some that went to maybe the back of the house, because I know for a fact that there have been lots of people that got saved here in this building that wasn't up here at the altar. And I'm glad you don't have to go to the mourner's bench to get saved. But it is a good, convenient place to go and pray and to seek the Lord. We've got a good crowd again tonight. Our attendance has been good every night through the meeting. And I wonder how many have been here every night. You haven't missed a service. Let's see your hands. Well, there's quite a few that have. But we have some tonight who hadn't been before in this meeting. And so we want to welcome the visitors and want to welcome the members that hadn't been here previously, if there are some like that. And there may be. But we're here tonight to try to serve the Lord, and we're here to try to influence lost people to get right with God. The Apostle Paul, we know for a fact that he tried to persuade people to get right with God. In fact, we have a record in the book of Acts of one man who said, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." So he had been trying to convince him that he needed to get right with God, and that's what we're trying to do. Convince people that they need to get right with God. I enjoyed Brother Miller's sermon last night, and I want you to pray for me tonight. I really do need your prayers. My subject tonight will be everlasting punishment. Now, to introduce that thought tonight, I've selected a passage of Scripture that will be found in the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, and I guess I'll begin at verse 1 and read down through verse 8. If you have your Bible and you care to follow along, I'd be glad for you to do so. Beginning in verse 1, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment." I don't know what I'm doing. "I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out in his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no fear, no evil thing." I'm sorry. "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall fear no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Now that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. And as I said, I want to try to speak to you tonight about everlasting punishment. And you may think, well, you've read a rather unusual passage of Scripture if you're going to talk about everlasting punishment. Well, it is not as unusual as you might think, and I hope that you'll see the point as we get into the message. The Bible that we preach from is a wonderful book.
a wonderful book. There are many reasons why it's a wonderful book. I think perhaps the greatest reason is because it's a book of truth. It is all truth. And God has given it to us. It's a wonderful book because it is the eternal word of the eternal God. In the 90th division of the Psalms, in the second verse, it says, Lord, thou hast, well, the first verse says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst made the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is an eternal God. He has no beginning of days and no ending of life. He preexisted this world and everything that's in it. And he is self-sufficient. When God told Moses, you know, Moses asked him after he had appeared to him and told him he wanted him to go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses said, well, who shall I say sent me? And God said, you tell them that I am has sent thee. And of course, that means that God exists. He has always existed. He cannot change his existence. He is the eternal and everlasting God. And so the Bible is the eternal word of that eternal God. It is the revealed word of God. And so God has seen fit to show us, his will and his ways and to give us a lot of information that we otherwise would not have known. The Bible reveals to us the creation, where the world came from. A lot of theories bouncing around in this world, as to how the earth and the world came into being. And the Bible gives us the truth about it. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the book of Psalms, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And so I believe the Bible. I believe that God created the world. I not only believe God created the earth and the trees and the grass and the cattle and the rocks and the mountains and the seas and the fishes and the vegetables, but God also created man. We wouldn't know that if God hadn't told us, would we? There's none of us that were there when God created the heavens and the earth. None of us that were there when God formed man and gave him life. But God has told us in his word the origin of man, where he came from, how he happened to be here. You may have some questions tonight. You may say, well, I just don't know why God gave me life, And you may wonder, about why you're here in this world why God would deal with you as an individual. You may have lots of questions tonight, and I hope to answer some of them in this little message tonight that God has given to us. But I want you to know, the Bible tells us about the original sin. We're all sinners. Everybody would agree with that, wouldn't you? We're all sinners. And you might wonder, well, how did we get to be sinners? Well, the Bible tells us how. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, because all have sinned. No exceptions. The man that sinned was named Adam. He's the same man that God formed his body out of the dust of the earth and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that man in deliberate and willful disobedience to Almighty God brought sin and death into the world. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God not only told us about how death came to be and how sin came into the world, but the Bible says, and Brother Miller quoted this last night, I believe, but it says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. The Bible tells us not only where we came from, how we happened to be sinners, and that the wages of sin is death, but the Bible tells us that God provided a way for people to be saved. Amen. And escape the damnation of everlasting punishment in the place that the Bible calls hell. Now I want you to think about this with me tonight. It also tells us about the end. You know, the world's going to come to an end one of these days. We don't know when. We do know this, though Jesus made the promise that he would come again. And the Bible says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And it tells us that the earth and everything in it is going to be burned up. And so I believe tonight that is exactly truth, absolute, positive truth. God does not lie. I want you to remember that. God cannot lie. He does not lie. He cannot lie. And you can depend on anything and everything that God has said. It either already has come to pass or it will come to pass. And you can depend on that. But the Bible tells us that for the end of the saved, that God hath prepared a place for them. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are saved, they have their sins forgiven and they have eternal life and they have a hope beyond this veil of tears. And that place is called heaven. But also the Bible tells us that those who die in their sins, it tells us about where they're going also. It tells us, my friend, that there is a place that is called hell. It is a place of torment. It is a place of everlasting punishment. It is a place where the Bible says that the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And so I want you to keep those things in mind. Now I want to go back to my reading lesson for just a few moments. The Bible asks the question in the very first verse that I read, who is as a wise man? Who is as a wise man? Well, verse 5 of that same lesson tells us, it says, a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. He discerneth both time and judgment. Now listen what else he said. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon this earth, or is great upon him. And so tonight, a wise man, an individual that is wise, he will consider time, which has reference to opportunity. Time, he will consider time. And he will also consider the fact that time is going to run out. And that when time is no more, then there is going to be judgment. And the wise man will consider that. Not only does the Bible say that, but it also says over in the 9th chapter and the 11th verse, he said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. You know what that's saying? It says, God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. You might think that, you know, in a race, well, we would expect the fastest man to cross the finish line first. Perhaps we might think that, the man that was trained in warfare, he might, be the best skilled man to win the battle. And I suppose that's reasonable thinking. But when it comes to getting right with God, there are no favorites. There are no favorites. You know, the Bible said in the 10th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter went down to the household of Cornelius, and God had taught him a lesson. He told him to go down there. There was somebody down there that needed to hear words whereby he could be saved. And Peter, God showed him this sheet knit, let down from heaven, and in it were all manner of all unclean beasts. And the voice said to Peter, rise, slay, and eat. And these unclean beasts, were in there. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean has ever passed over my lips. And God said, Peter, what I've cleansed, don't you call it common or unclean. And this was God's way of showing Peter and teaching him a lesson Jews certainly need to be saved, but also Gentiles need to be saved. And that was God's way of showing him. I could preach a sermon just on that, but I won't take the time to do that. But when Peter got down to the household of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, found that he had gathered together all of his family so that they all could hear what Peter had to say. The first words out of his mouth, at least as is recorded in the Bible, he said, I perceive in all things that God is no respecter of persons. Now, everybody has an opportunity to get saved. You know, I believe tonight that the gospel is universal. I believe that when God said to the church, you go teach all nations, I believe that he meant for us to do exactly that. As Mark recorded it, go preach the gospel to every creature. And I believe God intended for us to do that. When the word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit will use it to bring conviction and draw men to the Lord. But what I started to say was, down here, I never did finish this verse. It said, but time and chance happeneth to all. Time and chance, opportunity. You know, God gives opportunity. He's been giving you opportunities all of this week. Those of you who are lost and in sin, he has been giving you the opportunity to get right with God. And I want you to know that you are responsible to God for yourself. This verse over here, it says, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. That teaches us that that we have responsibility. And also we are accountable. That verse teaches responsibility and accountability. You don't need to fool yourself tonight about being accountable to God. I'm telling you, you are accountable to God. And you are responsible. Nobody can save you except Jesus. Nobody can stand in your place when it comes time to die. You have to die for yourself. The same is true with salvation. You can't get saved by proxy. Nobody can do it for you. You have to seek the Lord for yourself if you want to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible teaches us very plainly that the wise man, he will discern or consider time and judgment. Now, time is moving very swiftly. of course, as I said, time's going to come to an end. And the Bible says this, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. And so you need to consider time as an opportunity and the judgment as the time when you're going to have to stand before God. And the Bible really does say this. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, I believe it is, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll just read it to you for our benefit. And it says, "For we must all, A-double-L, no exceptions. God is no respecter of persons. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man or every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or evil." So there's a judgment. You're going to have to stand before God at the judgment, and you're going to have to give an account to Him. Now, the most important question tonight is not, how did I get here? The most important question is not, how come am I a sinner? Why am I a sinner? That's not the important question tonight. The important question is, are you going to die a sinner? Are you going to die as an unforgiven, unrepentant sinner? Now, if you do, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. There's no doubt about that. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, what about hell? You know, the Bible tells us in several different locations in the Bible about the other side of the grave. Now, I don't know anything about the other side of the grave except what Jesus tells me. Jesus knows about the other side of the grave. The Bible said when he, in the third chapter of the book of John, as a part of his conversation with Nicodemus, the Bible says if I can get it together, Nicodemus said, "How can these things be? How can a man be born again when he is old?" And Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said, "How can this be?" And Jesus said, I'll just have to go and read it. John chapter 3. And this is what Jesus said. Just give me a minute to run it down. I bought me a new Bible the other day. And I got a giant print Bible. And things are just not located in the same place on the pages in this one as it was in the other one. And I have a little difficulty with it. So you just bear with me just a minute. And I'll find it. Well, I said I would. Yeah, here it is. Jesus said, "If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" He said, "And no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now, Jesus knows about the other side of the grave, folks. He knows all about it, and he can tell us. And he has told us, and we need to listen to what the Lord Jesus has said. On the other side of the grave, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Now that's what the Bible says, this great book that God has given to us. He said, "Who are the wicked?" Well, the wicked are the unsaved. those who are not saved by God's grace, they shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. And that means people from every nation that forget God. Salvation is an individual thing. And the judgment is an individual thing too, by the way. I already read where it says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so the Bible also says that the wicked go down quick into the pit. They go down quick into the pit. That's the destination of the unsaved. And not only that, but we read in the Bible where it says that the wicked shall be turned away in wrath or in iniquity. But it says that there is hope for the righteous. Let me turn and look at that one and read that for us as well. The wicked is driven away in wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. So there's a big difference between those who are saved and those who are not saved. Big difference in where we're going to go at the end of life and when we breathe our last breath. Somebody might say, well, tonight, well, now, I don't believe in hell, and I don't believe in heaven, and I don't believe that there's a God. I tell you, in less than 2 seconds after you draw your last breath, you'll believe in God, and you'll believe that there's a hell, and you'll believe the things that God has said is the truth. You know, you just, as a sinner, as an individual, you know, you have to seek the Lord. And you need to seek Him with all your heart. And you need to find Him. Because it's a terrible thing to die in your sins. And be cast into hell. Now there is a literal burning hell. There is a literal burning hell. Jesus tells us about that. Jesus said, you know, that it would be better for a person to go through life and be blind or be lame or be maimed and miss heaven and go to heaven than it would to have all of his members and go to hell. Jesus said where the fire is not quenched and where the worm dieth not. So Jesus said that there is a burning hell, and those that die in their sins will be turned into hell. And the Bible also tells us it's a place of punishment. You know, Matthew chapter 25 tells us about the time when Jesus is coming again. And it says he will sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered together all nations. All people from every nation are going to be gathered before. And he's going to separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he'll say to them on his right hand, the sheep, he will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But it says to them on his left hand, the goats, he will say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the last verse of that 25th chapter of Matthew says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So there is a place called hell, and it is a lake of fire, and it does burn with fire and brimstone, and the fire will never be put out, it'll never be quenched, and you'll never die. You'll live forever and ever, because when God made man, he made him an eternal being. Amen. The body will die, but the spirit and soul will never die. And so that's a part at least of what I wanted to get before you tonight. You say, well, who will go to hell anyway? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, and I want to just turn over there for a moment and look at that. In verse 8, Revelation 21 and verse 8, and maybe it's 22 and verse 8. All right, we'll find it just in a moment. Maybe need to go back to my old Bible. I used to really get upset when I couldn't find something like this, but I've been trying to preach long enough now, I've got over that. So y'all just be patient with me just for a moment. All right. All right, if somebody knows where it's at, tell me. 21 and 8, that's what I thought I said. All right, there it is, just as plain as day. It says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful and unbelieving. I believe tonight that there's only one sin that'll send a person to hell. And I believe that's the sin of unbelief. I believe that's the sin of unbelief. But you know, there are a lot of sinful things out there in the world that people partake of. And so when he says that the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, those are classifications of unbelievers that are lost and without God. And the Bible said, they shall all have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So it's a very fearful thing today to fall into the hands of a living God. Don't you agree? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And I would admonish those tonight who haven't been saved to take this under consideration. You know, you might say, well, preacher, when does a person go to hell? Well, at death. The body goes to the grave. But if you're not saved, your soul goes to hell. It goes to the place of torment. And you say, well, do we have an example of that? Yes, we do. Jesus spake this in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. And he tells us about two men who lived on the earth. One of them was a very rich man. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He fared sumptuously every day. And the Bible said he was died and he was buried. And there was also a beggar man. This beggar man, he laid at the rich man's gate. He didn't have anything. He was full of sores, and he begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And this man also died. And he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which is symbolism for the paradise of God. And he was taken to heaven. And the rich man who died in his sins, and we know that he died in his sins, there's no doubt about it. He acknowledged the fact that he did not repent of his sins. He knew why he was there. and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. There are torments in hell. That's why I said everlasting punishment. Everlasting punishment. There are torments there. And there are no doubt many torments, and I could not possibly mention them all. But I do want to just point out two or three of them. One of them is pain and suffering. This man was in torments. He was being tormented. He asked for water to cool his tongue. You know, that wouldn't be a great deal of comfort, don't seem like. But I guess if you was burning and you were in torment, I suppose that you would be grateful for just a drop of water to cool your tongue. But anyway, he was in torments. He was in darkness. You know, Jesus, he made reference in Matthew chapter 22. Says, a certain king made a great supper for his son, and he invited many to come. And I won't go through all of that. It'll take me too long. But the Bible says that there was one who showed up without a wedding garment on. And the Lord, the Master, the King, he asked, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment on?" And he was speechless. He had no answer. And I want to tell you, when you stand before God at the judgment, you'll have no answer. You won't be able to say, "Well, nobody told me about being saved." You can't say, "I didn't hear the gospel." You can't say that I wasn't warned. You just stand there and with no answer, because the Lord knows all about you anyway. And so, anyway, it's... he gave the command to his servants, "Take him and cast him into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." So I believe, according to the scriptures, that hell is a place of darkness. It's a place of torment, where there is suffering. It is a place also where there you retain your memory. That rich man, he remembered his brothers back home. He remembered that there was a beggar that laid at his gate, begging for food. That beggar must have made some kind of impression upon that rich man, because, you know, he could see him in Abraham's bosom. And Abraham reminded him. He said, "Don't you remember? In your lifetime, you had everything. This old beggar, he didn't have anything." But he said, "Now, you are being tormented and he's being comforted." And so he could remember his life. And he remembered his family, his brothers, who were still living at that time. And he said, "Send Lazarus back to warn them that they repent and not come to this awful place of torment." So he could remember the memories were an awful torment to him. And then the worst torment of all, he was separated from God and from everything good. Now, folks, that describes everlasting punishment as far as I'm concerned. Everlasting punishment. And I would hope and I'd pray today that if you're here and lost, that you'd seek the Lord. That you would come to Him while you have time and opportunity. You need to consider time and judgment. You need to take all of these things into consideration. And you need to seek the Lord while you can find Him. And not put it off, because we just don't know when the Lord is going to come again, and we don't know when we're going to die. That's two good reasons to seek the Lord, because There's everlasting punishment for those who fail to seek the Lord. That's another good reason to seek the Lord. Jesus loves you, and He died on the cross and shed His blood and made an atonement for your sins. And that's another good reason to seek the Lord. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I want to tell you, that's the only way you can escape the damnation of hell. That's the only way you can escape, is to come to God through Jesus. I could say a lot more, but I guess I've said enough tonight. But you know, God says repent. And Jesus said repent and believe the gospel. And that's what it takes to get saved. You have to turn from your sins in repentance, and you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved. I pray that God will bless this little effort tonight, even with all of my mistakes and my blunders. I've told you the truth. I have told you the truth. And you won't be able to point your finger at me at the judgment and say, He didn't tell me, because I have told you. And I have warned you. And you need to be a responsible person. Responsible for your own actions. Responsible for your own soul. Because nobody can do it for you. Your soul is the most valuable possession that you'll ever own. It's worth more than this world and everything in it. How do you know, preacher? Well, because Jesus made this statement. He said, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his soul, what would it profit him? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, we know, of course, once a man dies and goes to hell, his state is final. He's not going to be able to make any exchanges whatsoever. He couldn't barter, he couldn't bargain, he couldn't do anything in the world. If you lose your soul, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. So I pray tonight that God will help you to make that choice. And you do have to make a choice. Moses a long time ago, and Joshua as well, the both of them, they said before you is set good and evil and life and death. Choose which one you want. Do you want to be saved and go to heaven? Or do you want to remain in your sins and die and go to hell? It's a choice. You can make the choice. And I pray tonight that you'll choose life. I pray that you'll choose good. Seek the Lord tonight while we stand and sing. Will you come tonight?